Hello, friends. This is Tim. It is Saturday, March 21st. And this morning, I woke up sad. Honestly, I wasn't planning on recording one of these today. But this morning, I woke up early. It's right now as I record this, it's 5:30. And I'm at South Harbor Church, putting together a sermon for tomorrow. But this morning I woke up sad. I have a ritual. I don't know if it's a good ritual or a bad ritual, but one of the first things I do in the mornings is I pull out my phone and I look at my calendar for the day. And there was an event in my calendar, which, by the way, how are you doing with your calendars? Right now it's kind of, for me, it feels like it's an everyday. I look at the calendar. What do I need to cancel? Who do I need to contact? Who do I need to apologize because I can't make the meeting or we can't meet? How do we move a meeting online? That's my world. But I looked at the calendar, and on my calendar this evening there was scheduled a daddy-daughter dance, and it was scheduled to be at the Frederick Meyer Gardens, and it is the butterfly exhibit. And so I have been hyping up this daddy-daughter dance with my daughter Joanna for a bit now, and this would be our first daddy-daughter dance, and I was really excited about it. And she's my hero. This little four-year-old girl is the funniest, most fun. I mean, this girl is my hero. And so I was really excited about it. How do you tell a four-year-old that you can't go to the dance? How do you break that news? That's the questions I woke up with. I'm an Enneagram 7. If you're familiar with the Enneagram, it's kind of like a personality test, not exactly, but it's someday we should talk about the Enneagram if you're unfamiliar. But I'm a 7, and as an Enneagram 7, my default is to find the silver lining in everything. Like, what's the good story here? What's the good news here? In fact, I think a lot of that disposition actually is really quite beautiful. I actually love that I'm wired up this way in so many ways, because my go-to question is always, what is the good news? What is God teaching us in this? What are we seeing in this? And honestly, in this season of the coronavirus, there are a lot of really beautiful silver linings, and my default is to look for those silver linings, and I think that's good. And I think for people like me, what we can do, I think what we can do is if we're not careful, we can ignore like the pain of it all. I actually think that this is an issue sometimes in Christian circles in general, in churches in general. I've been paying attention to social media and how churches are responding in all of this. And it is really beautiful what churches are doing right now. But there is this temptation in these seasons to just sing a little louder, to just crank the radio up a little bit louder, to just ignore the reality of everything that's going on, there is a temptation to turn the scriptures into cliches. Just trust God, just believe in God's plan, be strong and courageous. And hear me, I fully believe that our God is sovereign. I fully believe that our God is with us in the midst of all of this. In fact, I want to talk about some of those key scriptures next week. I'm hoping to spend a lot of time just kind of thinking through some theology stuff, and especially how do we think about God and how do we think about evil and the problem of evil and all of that. But there is a temptation in church circles to just turn the volume up, and I don't know that it is honest with our faith. In fact, I don't know that it's honest with the faith of our ancestors. I don't know that this is our spiritual ancestors handed us a faith that just ignored problems. In fact, when I look at the scriptures, what I discover is in the scriptures, especially in the Psalms, the Psalms are just lament after lament. One third of the Psalms are lament Psalms. And the other Psalms are honest with the other emotions. Like the Psalms are just very, very, very honest. There's an entire book in the Bible called Lamentations. And the author of Lamentations literally goes through his alphabet or her alphabet and letter by letter through the alphabet writes a lament. And it's incredible stuff. It's incredibly helpful stuff. And so if you're feeling that, I want to encourage you not to run. Don't miss what God might be trying to teach you by having us go through this. Let's not miss what God is trying to form within us by just cranking up the volume, by just putting our fingers in our ears. There is a psalm, if you're looking to pray a psalm, this is a psalm that came to my mind this morning. It is Psalm 77. Now, Psalm 77 has these breaks in it. There are this is a little word that comes up three times in this psalm. It's the word Selah, Selah, S-E-L-A-H, Selah. Now, if you're looking along in a Bible, I'm looking at a Bible right now, and it says probably a literary or musical term. Here's the thing. We don't know what Selah means. We have no idea what this little word means. There is a theory that has been put out there by our sages, our rabbis, our theologians. There's a theory for what this word means. The theory goes like this, that every time you come to the Selah in the song or in the poem, every time you come to the Selah, you are to pause. And in your pausing, you are to wait. Just listen to God, pause, wait for at least twice as long as you speak. And what you discover when you read through Psalm 77 is that as you pray the prayer of Psalm 77, and as you stop at the Selahs, that actually the prayer walks us through what I believe is a really healthy journey through the hard stuff. So I'm going to invite you to do that today. I was going to do that with you right here on this, but you know what? I'm going to let you do that because I think it deserves a space. It deserves probably a cup of coffee. And if you can find quiet in your house, it probably deserves a space of quiet. And I want to invite you to go there. Of course, we look for silver linings in this. Of course, we're gospel people. We look for good news. Of course, we look for the sovereign hand of our God in the midst of all of this. But in so doing, we don't ignore. That's just not healthy. Yeah, I guess what I'm trying to say is don't rush through the Selahs. Don't miss the holy pause. It is in stopping. It is in listening. It is in actually processing that God forms us. It is in the pause, in the Selahs, that God reminds us that He is present with us in the midst of it. To just push on risks us missing the formation that God has for us. So I want to invite you to pray a prayer like Psalm 77. And as you pray this prayer, if you pray this prayer, I want to invite you to actually pray the prayer as our spiritual ancestors have prayed it with all the pausing. And we'll talk again, but I hope today meet you with grace and peace.